You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Monday's edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to a busy old bank holiday. No fewer than 5 domestic meetings and 2 in Ireland as well, so plenty to enjoy on Monday. We'll be focusing on the jumping action at Kempton and the flat card at Windsor on this edition. Sam Norris here in the chair and I'm delighted to be joined by Alistair Whitehouse-Jones today. How are you, Alec?
Not bad, thank you, Sam.
Good. Have you been enjoying the racing lately? Are you fully adjusted into flat mode?
No, I'm still got my jumping head on.
Really? Right.
Yeah, especially with Punchestown. Just now, I suppose now is, yeah. You know, we move on, don't we? Onto the flat, into the summer jumping, which doesn't really float my boat. But yeah, so it's a case of getting Punchestown out of the way, isn't it? And then get into flat mode.
Yeah, and it was probably a good idea that you weren't in flat mode if you were looking to have a bet in the 2000 Guineas, which was won yesterday by Galileo Gold, a first classic for Hugo Palmer, a first win in the race for Frankie Dettori since 1999, but probably would have took some finding, that one, Ali.
Yeah, it was very weak on the day, wasn't it? Mm. He's been, you know, the vibes have been fairly positive for a while, but he was very weak yesterday. And yeah, it typified how difficult it can be this time of year, backing on the flat when the first three in the market finished last, second last and third last, yeah. I think. So, and yet again, we had a big priced placed horse in the Guineas. I think it's for turning little money into big money. I think the Guineas is as good a race as the Grand National because you get 100 to one shots, 150 to one shots, really big priced horses making the frame year after year. And we had another one in the Fahy horse who finished third at 33 to 1.
Yeah, that's right. And Kentucky Connection, it was 100-to-1 chance.
Yeah, it was only
just
fifth.
Back in fifth. Yeah,
absolutely.
So a good bit of prize money for Connections there. Certainly, a word on the disappointing favourite, Ali. Air Force Blue has long been touted for this race. Went off at 4-to-5. Had been assured as 4-to-6 prior to the race. To be honest, it looked beat after 4 or 5 furlongs.
Never looked happy, did he? And I guess the fact that, you know, a lot was made of them putting a tongue tie on for the first time when he patently didn't need it at all last year, and that was probably a significant factor. He just completely cut out, and the burning question is whether we'll ever see him again.
Yeah,
you know, unless there's something clear comes out in the wash, then I'd be amazed if they risk him again.
Yeah,
no surprise to me if we don't see him.
Okay. And on the winner, Galileo Gold, can this kick on now and go on to win further races? It's an 8-to-1 chance with us here for the Derby, or do you feel this is the day in the sun?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, you never know, do you? But he's in good hands. I know you can make a case for him staying the Derby trip, but end of the day, he's by Paco Boy, who was essentially, I know he won over a mile, but his best trip was, without question, 7 furlongs. Doesn't smack to me as a potential Derby win. I'd be far more interested in the second, Massard, who was always going to make a better 3-year-old, and, you know, he would have, he's not guaranteed to stay over a mile and a half, but he'll definitely stay a mile and a quarter, and he'd be the one I would be taking out the Guineas.
Okay. And Massard, the one then to go into the notebook going forward. Let's recap some of the action from Punchestown as well. It was the final day of their festival. We saw some of the mares in action. The mares champion hurdle as well, a race which Limini went off favourite for. That was beaten to second by stablemate Whiteout. As has proved the case many times before, the only man who can beat Willie Mullins is Willie Mullins.
Indeed, yeah. I don't think Limini jumped well enough, reading between the lines. They're not... you know, she apparently works as well as anything they've got at home, but you know, the festival form, you can pick holes in it, then beaten on soft ground at Aintree and yesterday, really hard to forgive her. You know, she, you know, Whiteout really had a lot to find on the figures. No obvious reason as to why Limini shouldn't have beat her with ease. I just don't think she jumped quite as well as she can, but you don't want to start making excuses when you're talking about a horse that's always going to be going off at quite short prices. So maybe she's just a bit of a morning glory.
Yeah, possibly, because as you say there, the yard have been incredibly positive about her. Mm. Happy to run her against the boys earlier on in her career. She hasn't been brought along anywhere near as slowly as the likes of Vroom Vroom Mag. So clearly does he's clearly showing something at home.
Absolutely, yeah, and maybe they'll switch their attention to the flat and try and win a decent flat prize with her, because she's clearly got a lot of speed. But, I mean, you don't want to knock her too much. I mean, end of the day, she's finished. She's won a race at the Cheltenham Festival and now finished, placed in two grade ones. So she's not a mare we should be knocking, but maybe she's just not quite as good as they think she is.
Yeah, perhaps. Let's move on to the champion four-year-old hurdle then. This was won by Apple's Jade on Saturday, confirming the form with Ivanovich Gorbatov, who was actually pipped on the line for second place. That one finished back in third. It wasn't quite the 41 lengths that we saw at Aintree, but another convincing win for Apple's Jade, and rounds off the season with a pair of grade one victories.
Yeah, and she's probably as exciting as anything looking forward to next season. I mean, the Aintree form looked too good to be true. Given the ground, she clearly just handled it better than anything else. But even so, to win a grade one over by more than 40 lengths takes some doing. And yesterday there were no excuses. Ivanovich Gorbatov had no... I mean, he was second best in the race. He ultimately paid the price for going with the favourite. Yeah. And Let's Dance has basically picked up the pieces late on. But there's no question now that Apple's Jade was not at her very best at Cheltenham and is clearly a superior force than the O'Brien horse.
Yeah, another William Mullins 1-2 in that race. Then we seem to have a very good crop of mares around at the moment, Alistair. I know that the BHA have tried to improve the mares programme. I suppose that they won't have expected results to have happened this quickly, but I guess it's just coincidence. We just seem to have a lot of good mares at the moment. The mares race next year doesn't normally excite people at the festival, but if some of these top horses all line up against each other, I guess the one problem is they're all trained by
most of them are trained by Willie Mullins. That's the problem, yeah. And they'll, you know, he'll be at pains to keep them apart. Yeah. I'd have thought so, but yeah, it's. I don't think you know, the jumping scene is in rude health at the minute. There's so many great horses out there, and they're not all trained by Willie Mullins. You know,
yeah.
So it's something to look forward to next year.
Absolutely. Away from Saturday, then, was there anything else that really caught your eye from the Punchestown Festival as a whole? Any real highlights for you?
Well, the low light was Road to Riches coming down. I did that race in the post, and I was keen to, purely from a value perspective, I was keen to take a cue card, and I put up Road to Riches, and I convinced he would have gone really close, and it was I was just glad to see him get up, because it was one of the most horrific falls I've seen.
Yeah, it was.
He literally hit it halfway up, and it was vile. I'm just so glad he got up. That was the ultimate relief, really. But everything was in his favour. He's still unexposed. That was over 3 mile on good ground. I'm convinced they'll go Gold Cup next year with him, and if they ride him a tad more patiently, I think he could be an interesting one at big odds. He's a very good horse that rarely has his trip and his ground. And he was in the process of proving just how good he was last week, only to suffer that horrific fall. But thankfully he got up. We'll fight another day, and hopefully next year he can prove how good he is.
Yeah, hear, hear. Just a long old season for Cue Card, I guess, wasn't it? The horse is 10 now. It's taken him plenty of racing this year.
Yeah, and he won well at Liverpool, but even so, it would have taken a lot out of him to win a grade one, you know, that convincingly. And it was just, I think they admitted afterwards, it was just one race too many. But fair play to them, their sporting connections.
Yeah.
And thankfully the horse got round fine, and, you know, all roads lead to the same sort of programme next year, I'd have thought.
Yeah, indeed, looking forward to that. We'll turn our attention now to the racing on Bank Holiday Monday. As I say, we're focusing on the cards at Windsor and Kempton. There's plenty of it on Monday. We're also racing at Bath, Beverley and Warwick. But we begin with a couple of races from Windsor. Usual Monday fare for them. They start with the 215, which is a handicap over 6 furlongs. Here we've got 14 runners declared for this Class 4. What do you make of these sprinters, Alan?
Yeah, it's competitive, this. But the one who stands out for me is number 2 on the card, Lynx Drive Lady, who last season was a bit up and down, but she does run this track particularly well. I think she's won three times over this course and distance, and she also made a reappearance here recently, which was a definite step back in the right direction, finishing third on soft ground behind Englishman, who, horse of Milton Bradley's, who was very well handicapped, and that was a fairly deep race, I thought, and that was this mare's first appearance since finishing a really decent fifth in the listed race at Doncaster last November. I just think, on the back of that, and given her liking for the course, I think she's definitely the one to beat here.
Okay, Lynx Drive Lady then for Dean Ivory gets the choice for Alistair in the 2:15. We stay at Windsor now for their 4:35. This is a handicap over a mile and a quarter. 10 runners this time. Who's caught the eye here, Ali?
The one who catches my eye here, and if you happen to be going to Windsor, then this horse will definitely fill your eyes. A really good-looking four-year-old, and it's called Harold Lloyd. From the Henry Candy Yard. Henry Candy's a trainer who, I mean, this horse hasn't been seen for 292 days, but he is a trainer that he only runs them when they're ready to win. You know, he's not one of these who will run them 80% fit with a view to something further down the line. And this is an imposing gelding. He progressed really well to win his final start of last season. That was his handicap debut at Sandown. And he beat a subsequent winner that day with the two of them pulling a long way clear. The key to this horse, he doesn't want the ground too fast, but I don't think that's going to be a problem. And, you know, I think conditions will be perfect there on Monday. They've had a bit of rain over the weekend. He's gone up £7, but I've got absolutely no question that this horse has got his better days ahead of him. And I'd be disappointed if he didn't go really close. Mediation is another likely improver from the Roger Varian yard. I think it's interesting that they've kept this horse in training. And Mr. Music Master is another one. This horse is very well handicapped and definitely took a step back in the right direction on the all-weather last time. The glaring doubt about him is whether he'll get home over this longer trip, as all his form is over shorter. But he's dangerously well handicapped. But for me, it's Harold Lloyd.
Okay, Harold Lloyd then, the pick in that 4:35. We go jumping now over at Kempton. We begin with their 3:55, which is a 3-mile handicap chase. 15 of them are set to take their chance in this one. This looks a competitive heat.
Yeah, this is the, without question, the best race on the card at Kempton. Over 3 mile, lots of relevant course form comes into the equation here. The one I like is trained by Mick Shannon, a horse called Warden Hill, who only reappeared at Cheltenham 18 days ago, and that was on the back of nearly a year off, and that would be the one concern. He does need to avoid the dreaded bounce, if you like. But if you look at this horse's novice profile, he's definitely got the potential to be better than his mark of 1.36. And that Cheltenham run last time was over 3.25 mile. He's an assured stayer, and I do like that because I know Kempton's got a reputation for being a speed track, but there's a lot of front runners in this race, and they're going to go a hell of a gallop, and you definitely need to stay absolutely every yard of it. So, provided he goes the right way from that Cheltenham reappearance only 18 days ago, I think Warden Hill is very much the interesting horse in that race. I also mentioned Gallery Exhibition. He was well beaten in this race 12 months ago, and I've just, again, he's a horse that runs Kempton well, and he's been waiting for this better ground. He's ran at Aintree last time in the top, and didn't run at all badly, given the ground was on the easy side, and before then was fourth over 2.5 mile round here on soft ground. You know, the conditions, again, far too testing for him, so we can expect a better run from Gallery Exhibition. The concern with him, even though he's won over 3 mile 1, I think 3 mile, when they go a really good gallop in a big field like they will on Monday, could just find him out. I can see him running well, but ultimately not quite stay strongly enough to finish the job off. So Warden Hill is the selection.
Warden Hill the choice then in the 3:55 at Kempton. We stay at Kempton for the final race on today's podcast. This is their 5:35. Another handicap chase here. 2.25 miles the trip this time. 9 runners go down for it. What do you make of this bunch?
Yeah, some old favourites here. Fago, French Opera, Thomas Crapper, Parsnip Pete. You know, horses that seem to have been around for years and years. We know a lot about most of them. I mean, Dunraven Storm is no spring chicken. He's now an 11-year-old. But this wouldn't be as deep a race as what he's been contesting. Last time he finished mid-division in the 2-miler at Cheltenham, the Grand Annual. Before that, he was second to the very progressive Colmore Lock at Exeter. Before that, was second in a red-hot handicap at Ascot. And before that, was fourth in the Halden Gold Cup behind Vibrato Valtat. So this horse has been keeping really good company. And his mark, is slowly easing. He's down to 145 here, having been as high as 150. I mean, you'd struggle to call him well handicapped, but he might not need to be to win this. I think most of these are probably on tough enough marks for where they currently are in their careers. And I just think, yeah, his class could count. So Dunraven Storm, take a chance on him in the in that 2 miler at Kempton.
Okay, the joint top weight then, Dunraven Storm, is the one for Ali in the 5:35. Just give us a quick recap then, please, of your four picks for the races we've looked at on Bank Holiday Monday.
Yeah, the 2:15 at Windsor go for course specialist Lynx Drive Lady. In the 4:35 there, Harold Lloyd can hopefully kick his season off with a victory. And then at Kempton in the 3:55, the one of the best races of the day, we go for Warden Hill, trained by Mick Shannon. And then at 5:35, it's Dunraven Storm for champion jockey Richard Johnson.
There we are then, thoughts of Alistair Whitehouse Jones ahead of the racing on Monday. Thank you for that, Ali. Enjoy the action and we'll speak again soon.
Cheers, Sam.
And remember, you can tune in to William Hill's Racing Radio from 12:20 p.m. on Monday afternoon. Darren Owen, Gary Capewell and Sean Quinn are your team for a busy Bank Holiday Monday. You've been listening to the Daily Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.